Well, we need the Lord tonight. Would appreciate an interest in your prayers. I've enjoyed the meeting, been challenged by it. We're at the closing of 2021. I don't know what your reflections of this year might be at this time, or how ready you might be to turn the page to a new year. I know this year is held its challenges in the world, but I know I've found that the Lord is faithful, and I appreciate the Lord and His goodness. At a time like this, it seems like people, in the midst of, even in the world, in the midst of their revelry and celebration, often take time to reflect on the last year and the year that is ahead, sometimes with resolutions or recognition of a need to do things differently in the year that comes. And not that really January 1st is that much different of a turning of the page maybe than any other day, but there's something about the start of a new year that people reflect and say, this is my opportunity to turn over a new leaf. I'd like for us to begin tonight in the book of 3 John. I'd like for us to take a bit of a health check tonight. Consider the thought by the Lord's help of spiritual health. 3 John in the first verse says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Caius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." You ever heard some of, I think of Irish blessings. I don't know that it's confined to that country. You might see it written on a little plaque or tea towel or whatever the case might be. Something to the effect, may the road rise to meet you. Never figured out how that helps you. But may the road rise to meet you and the wind be at your back. And the sun always warm your face and things like that. That is a blessing or a wish that things go well for you in your journey. Well, I want us to think about this blessing. This prayer and his desire of a man that he had confidence in. And he said, I would that you would be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. And he drew a connection between a spiritual prosperity, a spiritual health, and that outwardly. I'd like for us all at this time of the Lord's help to do a little reflection for myself and say, if that were pronounced upon me, would it be a blessing or would it be more of a curse? I would that what you see on the outside would be just like what's on the inside. There is so much focus in our world today about the outward man. But the scriptures teach us that there's more to us. We consist of more that's not seen than what's seen. But we don't often, well, hopefully in a setting, in a place like this, but we don't often speak on that kind of level with one another. You can take little culture mini courses if you're traveling to another culture. You find out some of the sayings that are unique to their country. You find out things that would be offensive that you want to avoid and so forth. Do you know one of those things that's taught in American culture crash course is that if somebody asks you, how are you doing? They don't necessarily want a detailed answer. Then it's not really as much of an inquiry about your health and how everything is going in your life as it is just a greeting in passing. You know, we can converse with one another on shallow levels sometimes and say, how are you doing? Doing well. It's going well. Maybe a talk a little bit about the job or the children or things that have been going on in life. And that is an important component, an aspect of our existence. But it's certainly not the most important. Maybe we ought to a little more often say to one another, "No, how are you really doing? How is it with your soul? Are you prospering spiritually?" As we look back in the last year, and maybe you remember where you were in December 31st of 2020. How is it with your soul? Has this been a year of prosperity for you? Not talking about your retirement account, but in something that counts and is valued so much higher than that. The scripture that teaches that there is an inward man and there is an outward. So much of this world's focus is on the outward man. Making provision for the outward man and for the comfort and preparation for the needs of the outward man. But not nearly as much attention is paid to the needs of the inward man. And I trust that's why we're everyone here in this meeting. Is that I'm interested in the health of my soul. I'm interested in spiritual things, in things that endure beyond even this life. So Lord, help us to be able to examine for a little while. What is my spiritual health? You know, if people today were as concerned with their spiritual health as they are their natural health, I wonder what attendance in services might be. I wonder if it might rival the clinics and the emergency rooms and the hospitals that are full of people that are hurting and broken and diseased. There are so many diseases, hurts, injuries. And it's not to minimize that. But we can be much more attuned to the needs of this outward man than we are to the needs of the soul. Lord, help us to be more attuned, or to be attuned unto the health and the well-being of my soul. Scriptures talk about things like, "You hath he quickened, or made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins." It says, "Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of God, so we also might be raised up to newness of life." We've sung the song a few times in this meeting, "From Death to Life." A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. The reality is that we can be in the strongest of physical health. We can be prospering financially. And the inward man be dead. Dead to the communion with God. Dead to the joys of salvation. Can be in a state where it's desensitized. It's not awakened. It's not quickened by the songs of Zion and the preaching of the word and the touch of God. A dead state. There's a lot of death in our world today. There's a lot of walking dead in our world. But I am so thankful that there is a remedy. Sin brings with it the penalty of death. The scripture says that if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. That'll be what is the result. That'll be what is the fast forward of the path that you're on. It's going to be corruption. It's going to be a corrupting influence. And sin, when it is conceived, bringeth forth death. But I'm thankful that we can be quickened. Made alive. Remember the vision of the valley of dry bones? Whenever the prophet was asked, "Can these bones live? And it was like he hesitated for a moment. Lord, thou knowest. By everything that I look at it, it looks like it's past that point now. It looks like it's beyond hope. They're dry, maybe bleached out by the sun in the process of time. There's no life in it. But I am so thankful that there is still a God tonight that is alive and that is able to take dead bones where life is gone, where the desire for the things of God is vanished and evaporated, where someone is bound instead in its place by the desire for things of this world. I am so thankful that the Lord can breathe into that new life. Where there was death, there can be new resurrected life. And you know, it's the case in every one of our lives where we may find places that are dead. The Lord is able to quicken and make those things alive. Think about what Jesus said in John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I believe that Jesus has come and paid the ultimate price that we don't have to live a mere existence of survival. He's come that we can have an abundance of spiritual life. He has come to destroy the works of the enemy. He has come to unravel the chains of death. He's come to undo the death and the corruption and bring life, vitality, and health in its place. Thank the Lord. Are we enjoying tonight abundance of spiritual life? Have we been feasting in this meeting? The Lord has more for. He has to talk about it as quality of life. Sometimes whenever people are, maybe they're getting up in age, or maybe there's been an accident or something that has debilitated them, they say, well, they're alive, but they don't have much quality of life. You know, the Lord has more for us tonight than just inhaling and exhaling. He has more for us tonight than just barely surviving or barely existing. But the Lord has a place for us that He wants us to prosper and grow in the things of the Lord. Life for us to consider an old familiar story found in 2 Kings. Second Kings, the 5th chapter, says, now Naaman, captain of the host of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. We know the story and won't read all of it, that the young maiden, the servant girl, told unto her master that I would that you could be over where the man of God could restore your health. She had confidence and an assurance of that. Well, Naaman was of stature with the king, such that the king of Syria sent a letter unto the king of Israel saying, I want you to heal my servant. The king of Israel said, he's got a quarrel against me. I'm not able to do this. This isn't within my capability. But thank the Lord that there is a God in heaven that is able to restore that which is lame and broken. And Elisha, whenever he heard that, he said, send him to me, that he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horse and his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper? Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Naaman, again, it says, was a man of great valor, a man that was well known. And then it puts the qualifier at the end of that first verse, but he was a leper. But you know, Naaman, as he was coming now unto the prophet of God, wanted to come to him as a mighty man of valor, and he wanted that to be his identity rather than what he really was, which was a leper. And that superseded everything else that he was. He was a man of valor. He had done mighty things, but he had a different identity now. There was a disease that had now consumed his body and identified him and marked him. And he wanted to go about, he wanted the healing. He didn't like his identity. He didn't like the existence that he had with the sickness that I believe typifies sin. He didn't want it. But he also wanted to go about the healing and recovery his own way. Many people today don't like the effects of sin, don't like the consequences of it, don't like the penalty that they have to pay. And they want to be able to unravel it somehow. Well, there is a somehow. There is a way. But it's not my way. And it's not yours. There are ingredients that go into this. The Lord God of heaven, again, is able to restore even the dry bones that are lifeless and far past hope in man's eyes. He's able to restore it. He's able to bring life again and revive and resuscitate. But there are some ingredients that go into it. As we've heard throughout the meeting of a God of love who's given a part into our hands to play. Some of those ingredients are faith. To come to the Lord and know and believe that He is able to do what he said. You know, we've got to have faith. And it's more than a mind exercise. I think about a woman who came to Jesus sick with an issue of blood for 12 years. She had tried every option that she knew. She had exhausted her options. She had gone from one physician, from one referral to the next. She spent everything that she had. I'm left now broke. And still no better, but rather grew worse. But she said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I believe that he has something for me. I pray that the Lord would help us to never lose faith. We're talking tonight not about physical afflictions. The Lord has the power to heal any manner of physical affliction. But the Lord's interest is first and foremost our spiritual well-being. And even in the Lord's workings in a physical manner, it's tied to His desire to bring spiritual healing. Whenever we have needs in our life, there is an element of faith required to know that it does not have to be so. That I don't have to remain in this state the rest of my life. That the Lord is able to heal me of this. This spiritual malady. Weakness. Disease maybe that I've struggled with over and over for years. And I've tried over and over again. The enemy wants to attack our faith, to begin to wonder, is there any hope for me? It's good that the saints can live that way, but I just don't know if I can. I want to encourage you to press. There is an effort required on our part. We can't be like Naaman, who come before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to just do it for me. I don't want to turn loose of anything. I don't want to have to humble myself. And so, back to the ingredients. It requires a faith in the Lord. A faith that brings action to it. A faith that says, you know, I am so convinced the Lord has the help I need. That if I have to ask somebody to let me up on top of the roof and down into the building through the to do that which is so uncouth and inappropriate or whatever it might be considered, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. I know the Lord has the answer for me. Do we know that tonight? Do we believe that whatever the need of my heart and my life, the Lord has the answer? No matter how many times or how elusive it might seem in my life, the Lord has the answer. The Lord has the healing for me and for that condition. There's got to be an element of faith that is willing to take action. Another ingredient is humility. And I want to couple with that an honesty. It would have done no good for him to say, I'm no leper. Try to disguise this somehow. You know, when we come to the Lord, there's an honesty that's required. That I come, like the song says, just as I am. It can be easy to want to try to twist the narrative a little bit to explain why I'm this way or to explain why I can't be more than what I am. There's a victim mentality in our world today that the Lord does not want us to subscribe unto. We don't have to be victim to the enemy. We don't have to just accept what the enemy wants to dump on us. We don't have to just stand back and say, well, I guess this is the way that it's always going to be. And it requires obedience. These are ingredients that I've got to bring to the Lord. I can't heal myself. I can't take the scripture says, can the leper change its spots? No more can you that are accustomed to doing evil. To be accustomed means it's just part of you now. It's been with you so long. It's been who you are for so long. You know the Lord is still changing who people are. The Lord is still changing. It doesn't matter that I was born with this tendency. I've always had this propensity. This has always been my weakness. The Lord is still changing people. The prophet Isaiah spoke of it in such beautiful language, saying that the lion shall lie down with the lamb. Folks, that's not talking about an age that's still to come in the future. He didn't come to save and deliver the animal kingdom from the effects of sin. He came to deliver mankind. He came to change the very nature of the creature. He didn't come to just put a bandage over it. He didn't come to do a cosmetic fix to us. That's not what salvation's about. It's not about just beautifying the outward. And I know what the saints expect of me, and I know how to act that way. But the Lord comes to heal. I remember working with a man. One time he came into work, and he was loopy. He was kind of wandering around and dazed looking at his face, and I called him my name and said, are you okay? So I don't know. I have a toothache, and finally was able to get the understanding from him that he was on so many pain meds that he wasn't even hardly coherent. You know, that didn't fix a thing. It numbed the pain. And far too many people go through life trying to deal with the symptoms. But the Lord doesn't deal with the symptoms. That's not where He starts, rather. Whenever you heal something, it's not about putting a bandage over it. It's not about hiding and disguising it out of view. It's not about just numbing the senses to it, where I'm not aware of it anymore. But when the Lord fixes something, He goes to the very root of it. If we'll come to Him with these ingredients, The Lord is able to heal the deepest breaks and hurts and wounds in our hearts and our lives. And we need not go through life saying, I'm this way because of that individual. I'm this way because of this circumstance that I'm in. If I had a different companion, I remember driving down the turnpike one time in Oklahoma, and they had a billboard on right on I-44. It said, don't change your wife, change your life. And I thought, that's a good saying. So many people want to just deal with the symptoms. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. And so I need to change my circumstances. I need to change the situation. But the problem is, I carry into it the same thing I took into that one. And it perpetuates and it goes on and on. The Lord wants to heal us. The Lord wants to go down to the cause of, and it goes beyond what I even understand. I don't know much about medical terminology. I can tell you if I'm hurting and something doesn't seem right. And you know that I have found that there are things about myself that I don't understand real well. So I ought to know myself better than anybody. You know, there are things I see about myself sometimes that I say, Lord, I don't know how to even explain this. Lord, I'm not real sure what's behind this. I don't know what's causing this. You know, we don't have to come to the Lord with our prescription. The Lord's the one that does that. He's the great physician. I just need to come and open myself up in honesty, in humility, in obedience, and in faith. To say, Lord, I know you have the answer. Lord, I know you know what this is. I may not know and understand exactly what's going on, but many times I can have an idea. I'm not where I need to be. Some of that love that I had for the Lord, it's just not there anymore. There's something that's happened to the joy of salvation that I one time had. I can't put my finger on it exactly. Folks, the important thing to know, don't ever lose His number. We can call Him anytime. Lord, call on the name of the Lord. Lord, you know where I'm at. You know where I've been. You know all about me, folks. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Oh, who can understand the secret ways of man? Who can understand the inward thoughts of man? Oh, I believe it was David that said, Lord, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Because the scripture talks about in Proverbs, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I can go through life trying to mop up the issues of life, if you understand what I mean. Dealing with the symptoms, dealing with the outcroppings of problems here and there and there and there. Religion deals many times with just the outcroppings, the behavior, but the Lord came to do so much more in salvation. He came to do what we can't do for ourselves. Examine myself through and through. The Lord that knows and understands the motives of the heart, that understands why I think the way I think. You know, I'm convinced that we are complex beings. That every one of us are made up of a patchwork of experiences and upbringings from the time we are children on up to the present that gives us an experience and an identity as unique as our fingerprints. And yet the Lord God that made us understands us perfectly. He knows the hurts from our childhood. He knows the things that nobody else knows that I've carried with me that has affected relationships down the road, that has affected the way I look at things. The Lord understands those things better than I might understand myself. Many times people just react. They just go off of what they're feeling. The Lord wants to do more for us in salvation. He wants us to give Him the permission to come in and search us and try us and understand us. The Lord is able to heal whatever our needs are. I'd like to consider a scripture in the book of Hosea. Hosea the 14th chapter. 14 and 4 it says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. You know, that speaks to me of a method of healing that goes beyond treating symptoms. That goes beyond just cleaning up the spill. And there's still something inside that's boiling. He says, I'll heal their backsliding. I'll heal the cause of them falling back into this time after time after time. I want to go and deal with their propensities and their nature and what it is about them that causes this weakness, this propensity that opens them up for this. The Lord wants to go beyond and deeper than the surface level. You see, we can many times have superficial relationships even. And I'm not saying that we do as a people. I love and appreciate the people of God. But with people in general, it's easy to have the superficial relationships and conversations like I've already talked about. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. And it never really gets down to the... You might look at me funny if I said, well, let me tell you about what I've been feeling down inside. And let me... There's a place for that. Folks, there is a safe haven that we can go to and pour out our deepest needs and hurts that I may not even know how to put into words, that I may not even know how to explain to the Lord. And the Lord says, you don't have to. I already know all about it. I already know what you need. I already have the prescription made out for you. But I want you to come to me. And I want to start showing you. You know the Lord can heal instantaneously. And I believe in a power of deliverance and salvation that is not a long-drawn evolutionary process. I believe in deliverance from sin. I believe that the Lord is able to set free from the chains of sin. I believe somebody can come to this altar or wherever the Lord deals with them and rise a new creature in Christ. But there are places that are very deep to us. There are things even when we get up from an altar of prayer and I'm saved now and cleansed, that there are still some things about myself I'm going to deal with. The Lord has given us a tool through His Holy Spirit's indwelling. Folks, we need it desperately. There are things about ourselves and of victories that we need to attain, we'll attain no other way. You know, there's still, even after a second work of sanctification, the second work of grace through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you know there are still going to be places that I say, Lord, here's another giant. When they went into the Canaan land, the Lord took them and led them from city to city. They had crossed over into the Canaan land. But He said, now you're able. Now I'm going to take you to the next city. And now I'm going to take you to the next one. There are still... Perhaps many of you have been saved far more years than I have. But I dare say no matter how long someone has been saved here, the Lord is still leading them on a journey, on a path, on a process. And often our biggest enemy that we have to learn to conquer is named the same thing I am. The Lord wants to give healing. The Lord wants us to be able to have health. Where life has dealt us some hard blows, disappointments, I started to say, the Lord can heal instantly. But you know, there are also, I believe, times that the Lord says, if you'll come to me and open up your heart, I'm going to go in and remove the impediment to healing. And I'm going to start you down a process of healing, something that is deep-seated and inherent to us, I'm going to start the process of healing right here. I'm going to remove that obstacle or that hindrance that has prevented this. And it may be a process of healing. But the Lord is able to heal completely. I don't believe the Lord's arm is shortened that He's not able to save. I don't believe that the Lord wants a handicapped people. I'm not preaching to us a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. I'm talking about our spiritual health. I don't believe the Lord is calling for us to be a handicapped, crippled, bruised people. Because there's no need. The Lord has healing for us. There are different kinds of injuries. The Lord has healing for acute injuries. In other words, something that happens to me that injures me instantly. By an accident or run my hand into the table, saw kind of... You know, there are things in a spiritual sense that cause acute injuries. Jesus said unto His disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Buckle your seatbelt. Get ready. They're coming. It's going to come. The Lord didn't promise to shield us from any hurts. He didn't promise to shield us from offenses or things that would come our way that would be injurious or hurtful to us. But there is a balm in Gilead. There is a place in the Lord that an acute injury, we can take it to the great physician. We can bring it to Him, and that thing does not have to sit there and fester over years. Hallelujah. Folks, the Lord has healing through forgiveness that He wants to bring to us. Where there have been hurts in the past, and it's easier said than done, as is all of this great plan of salvation. It requires a grace of forgiveness. It requires a grace and a healing working in my heart to be able to come to the place that I let go and that I forgive. Those things that have been hurtful to me. Those things that maybe I try to put out of my mind and I think, okay, it's gone now. And then I'm coming along, you ever stub your toe or you have an injury on your foot and it seems like it becomes a magnet for every fixed stationary object in your path. You know, that's the way injuries are. There's a susceptibility, there's a vulnerability. It's extra sensitive. The Lord wants to heal those places within us. Where I've been injured, I've been hurt, I've been offended. I hope I've never offended you. Forgive me if I have. I hope the saints have never offended you. But I want to let you know the Lord has a grace. He has a healing for you. That's not about fixing everybody else. It's about fixing what's broken in here. Isn't that what the Lord came to do? He didn't come to run the Romans out of town. He came to teach them how to live like Christ right under the rule of the Romans. The Lord has healing for us no matter how oppressive of a situation we might have been under. The Lord has healing. The Lord has recovery. That I don't have to go along through life as a cripple. There are injuries that aren't quite so apparent, at least not immediately. There are injuries that can leave bruises, that injure you down a little bit deeper, that on the surface maybe nobody would know, but down inside I'm hurting. Down inside there's something that's bruised. There are injuries that are also internal, that are progressive, that are cancerous. You know the Scripture, no, I'm not turning to a lot of these for the sake of time. The Scripture says that their word will eat as doth a canker. Speaking of false teachers and false doctrine, that is presented to our minds, to our intellect. There are things like those roots of bitterness that the Scripture talks about that can be presented to us and begin to grow down under the surface where externally everything looks just like it did yesterday or last year, but there's something that's growing inside, and that cancerous form begins to spread and affect other parts of the body. You know, we're not a good indicator by our senses when things are broken. COVID, for example. I remember whenever I had COVID for a while, nothing sounded good at all. I remember when I did start eating, things tasted so salty. Like somebody just dumped the salt shaker in the food. You know, I wasn't an accurate indicator of the saltiness, because the problem wasn't with the food. The problem was with me. And we can have health conditions spiritually that affect my ability to sense what's going on around us, that can affect my ability to taste the goodness of God, affect my ability to be able to taste and see just how good God is. It's not God that's changed, but something's happened with my ability to taste. Temperature. Somebody that's got a fever, infection in their body, they're not the right indicator to maybe say where the thermostat needs to be set. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Because I've got to make decisions in life that affect me and affect my family and affect others around me, that I need my health. I need to be spiritually sound to make these decisions, to be able to make assessments of what to do and where to go. And the scriptures talk about having our senses exercised to discern, to be able to understand the way things really are. You see, hurts and offenses skew our ability to even see reality. Whenever I become injured, I tend to favor that injured member. You ever have the devil come along after you've been offended? Maybe it hadn't happened to you yet. You ever have him come along and he's not done yet? And he starts talking it up. And he starts whispering in your ear, and he's trying to feed. You know, he's trying to cause an injury to fester. He's trying to cause that to grow worse. And it can, the scripture talks about it this way. It said the light of the body is the eye. If your eye, therefore, is evil, if it's sick, if it's not spiritually sound, then the whole body is full of darkness. It affects the way you see everything. Don't blame the doctrine. Don't blame God's people. Don't blame God. There's something in here. If salvation's not working, if it's not producing the results in your life, don't blame salvation. Don't blame the Lord. May we not blame God's people, but say, Lord, is there something in me that's broken? Psalms 147, the third. Start with the second. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. You know what outcasts have? Brokenness. Feelings of rejection. He gathers them together. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You know, tonight the Lord cares so much about every one of us that no matter where we're hurting, no matter what the malady might be, the Lord is interested in us coming to Him, and He wants to heal that which is broken. He wants to heal backsliding. You know, the Lord has healing for troubled marriages and relationships where it would seem like maybe it's just too far gone. Maybe this is just the course that it's destined to take. Beware a sense of fatalism or inevitability that this is just the way it's going to be. I guess we're just not going to be happy together. Folks, the Lord has healing for the broken and the hurting and the unfulfilled and the dashed expectations. The Lord has healing for the broken and troubled homes and marriages. It requires those same ingredients that we've talked about. But folks, the Lord has healing for us. The Lord has more for us than just staying together. Stay together. But the Lord has more for us than that. He has more for us than silent divorce. Maybe whenever I'm around the saints, we'll plaster a smile and put our arm around each other. But when I get back home, it's a different story. Folks, the Lord has healing that goes beyond just a plaster that we put on the outside. The Lord wants to go in and heal the hurts. He wants to go in and mend that which is broken and bruised. I'd like to look now at the fifth chapter of John. John chapter 5, we read about the pool of Bethesda. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. In verse 3, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. You know, that was an easy answer, wasn't it? He didn't ask why. He didn't need an explanation. He said, do you want it fixed? Do you want to be made whole? But what he resorted to, there are so many reasons why I am where I am. There are so many reasons why I'm not further along. There are so many reasons why I'm not something more than what I'd really like to be. There are so many reasons. I've tried before. You know, it's disappointing when you step out and you make an effort now, and here somebody intercepts you and gets right in, and you leave disappointed and crushed and wondering if there's any hope now. Yes, I'd like to be made whole, but I've tried over and over. The Lord had simply asked him, will thou be made whole? And I believe tonight that same question extends down to us as well. We want to be made whole. Whatever it is that we might have been carrying with us through life, you know the Lord is able to make us whole. He's able to bring us to a place that I can function in the body of Christ like He wants me to function. I'd like to close the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. The 22nd verse says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The obvious answer to them at that time was yes. We're known for our balm. Yes, we have the prophets that are able to administer it to us and able to treat these. But you know the reason why? And he said, why? Why then? So obviously the answer was yes, there is a balm. There is a remedy. And there is one that's able to apply it to bring healing. So, well, why then are you still in this condition? Folks, is Jesus still alive today? Is He still able to heal and deliver? Is He still able to bind up the brokenhearted? You know, He's still searching out for the outcast. He's still looking for those that have been discarded and left by the wayside, bruised, hurt, disappointed, coming along and saying, do you want to be made whole? Lord, me? Lord, do you know who I am? Yes, you. You can be made whole, and as can every one of us tonight. Yeah. Folks, there is a balm in Christ. There is healing in Jesus. May God bless each one of us. Amen. Amen.